Good morning. Good afternoon. It's another hour of truth. Boy, that's awful presumptuous. I sure hope it becomes an hour of truth. I'm just saying that sometimes it doesn't really start off so well. So, good morning, James.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Phil. Good morning, everybody. Or good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Good afternoon.
I'm just sitting here looking at a couple people that are just chomping at the bit to go out and get stuff done for the Lord, right?
After this, I'm about to go do some more stuff on the trailer.
He's hoping people show up there, you know.
You know, as a praise the Lord, Jeff and Casey showed up because there's some stuff there. And I called Jeff yesterday, and I mean, it really is a praise the Lord. I was looking at stuff I needed to get done, but he had some stuff out there, and I didn't want to throw away anything that he wanted. You know what I mean? So I gave him a call, and I said, you know, hey, man, I'm looking at some of this stuff. I didn't know if you might just toss this or you wanted to keep this. And those are some of the things that was outside. And him and Casey came over, and we did a lot of, we got a lot of stuff done all together. And, you know, I mean, that's a praise the Lord. He's going to meet up with me today. I'm going to help him get some stuff loaded up, get it carried out. And he's helping me get some stuff, trash loaded up and carried out. And so, you know, I mean, what can I say? I mean, praise the Lord. I thought I was going to be out there. You know, I just went to go do it and get this stuff handled. And, you know, I mean, it was better than I can ask or think on that front. I mean, it was very helpful. So, and we enjoyed hanging out with each other. I tell you, I haven't sat down and hung out with Jeff for a little minute, and so it was just a good time. Probably the most enjoyable time all week I had was just kicking it with him for a little bit, so praise God, you know.
Well, the chopping at the bit thing was from Steve. Steve's service. He's the only young people are like that. So to get some age on you, and suddenly you're not so chomping at the bit to get after it anymore.
To get what?
To get after it. And they were dealing with Isaiah 40. So mount up the wings as eagles, shall run and not get weary, shall walk and not faint. Which, you know, he had the insensitivity to point out that that was true for those who are about doing his thing and not those who are about doing their own thing. So that's why perhaps a lot of us spend so much time tired and not chomping at the bit. We're not so much about his thing. We're more about our thing. And
I can testify that. I mean, what I got going on is not any more than I usually got going on, which is always something, some project, something needs to get done. Yeah. This week's just been a lot tougher for me. A lot tougher for me and to the want to get it done. So, I mean, what that describes, that just testifies against me. That's all that does.
Well, you know, I was given an insight from a sage and
the plant.
I'm fixing to set you free. Says, you know, you sit there, you make out this list, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. So, you know, that list starts getting kind of long. And you start getting frustrated, because the list, it keeps getting longer. It, you know, here's what you do.
Just start marking
just
stuff.
Just start crossing it out. For every one thing you do, you just cross out something else. And see, that list gets shorter. from now Steve kept talking about, you know, his list just kept getting longer and longer and longer at the end of the day when he was running Dog River up there. I said, Steve, you just didn't get it right. You don't keep adding to the list without crossing out the stuff that's above it, because otherwise it'll never go away.
No, I mean, look. I praise the Lord because I got much help, and people are very willing to help, and people have helped very much.
That was sarcasm.
No, I hear you, but I mean, look, praise the Lord. It's me. It's my perspective. It's me having to put down the old man. And more, like I said, it's nothing more than I usually got going on. Like I said, if you're about doing the Lord's thing and not your own thing, He meets you there. So, look, praise God. But what can I say? I mean, sometimes I fall in that area of, was it Psalm, I think 72, I think it is? You know, it's like, surely good, God is good to Israel and those that have of a clean heart. But as for me...
Yeah, I'm pretty much
toast. But the Lord is good to me. Even and has grace and much mercy and sends grace and much mercy upon me through my struggles and through my... through my areas of much lacking, the Lord has covered me in those things. And what can I say? God is good. God is good. You know.
The cool thing with struggles, and Rick and I were talking about this yesterday, are things not quite going as you had hoped, and one, you have to increase your trust in the Lord in those times, because it's easy to fall into unbelief. But it also, it teaches you a lesson in the end of it. You come out knowing more than you did, I guess I should say. You know, and it just further proves the Lord is true. He's faithful. Trustworthy.
Amen. And, you know, we have... And we have that where it says, I was talking with Steve, and he goes, look, Phil, I know you've been praying for a better faith. I think he's, or a faith in the Lord, you know. And he goes, and then you know how you get to learn that faith. It's through these times. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you got this, you got, what did it say, you know, bodily exercise profits a little, but godly exercise profits a lot. I'm messing up scripture, but, I mean, it's just like, man, I mean, what you have is what you get, you build your faith in times of, you build your faith through these times where you, just like you have with a bodybuilder, I mean, when they go and they work out to become bigger, they go and they lift these weights and they exercise and they get what? Resistance. They have to have that resistance to exercise those muscles and build those muscles up. That's the same thing with, that's the same thing with faith. I mean, you put your faith in the Lord in all kinds of situations. And most of the situations, I mean, don't hear me wrong, most of the situations I'm in is my own stuff. I got myself in that situation, but the Lord is able to deliver me out of all these situations and see me through. He's well able. And especially when you're about His business in Him. So
that is cool, a cool thing, because the Lord is a redeemer, Phil. Yeah. You know, and we can do things that get ourselves into a mess. But if we, you know, turn around and call upon the Lord through faith, He gets us out of it, and it builds up our faith in Him. And He's a redeemer.
You were there in 1 Peter 1:7 this morning, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's the faith that's much more precious than gold. But gold gets tried too. And get, melt it and get all the impurities out of it. And your faith gets strengthened and exercised is the only way it gets stronger. Right?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, in every case, it's not the case, but you like to think of it as training. You know, whether it's similar to weight training or strength training or, you know, conditioning, it's if you've been sitting at a desk doing your job for the last 2 or 3 years and suddenly be threw you out on the floor with the guys busting the tires, you won't be in shape to be doing that very much, and you probably come home sore and
yeah, well, I do both. I mean, a lot of others don't. I do both.
You're like that flexible, disposable G.I. Joe.
you just go where what's needed the most. I mean, yeah. And that's what I try to do. I mean, it's not that I sit there, you know, people think of management, sit there and go around telling people what to do. No, you sit around and you see where you can serve the best for your guys to do their job best, and you can serve the customers the best, then serve the company the best way. And that's
your desk with your cigar going, hey, get over there, get that.
Now, we'll give out orders, but I'm right there in the trenches with them, yeah. You know. But look, praise the Lord. I mean, that's exactly what I was talking about, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, this is actually a faith builder. This is actually, it's those times where I have to practice faith in Him to give me the strength to carry on. To give me the strength to carry on to see me through to the other side and trust in the hope of the fruit of the labor coming about on the other side. Because mm-hmm. I know it's all going to be worth it. And the things that I'm having to put my hands to right now, it's all going to be worth it.
And it's
going to be profitable for Him and His kingdom, and it's going to benefit others.
Right.
If it wasn't, then what the heck am I doing?
Exactly.
What's the point of it? But that's not the case. Because I know the Lord's good. And I know that on the other side of this, it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be above I can ask or think, because that's the Lord, that's His character, that's His nature.
He is.
And He shows up for me through those times.
And
you know, in my carnal mind, I have to put that off. In my carnal mind, I can get, it's easy for me to look at the situation and go,
all of a sudden it's hard to see how any of this is worth the effort, and that you're really not serving the Lord. You're just up here serving a bunch of unreasonable people that want more work out of you than you're able to give out in one day. But that's when your eyes are off the Lord. That's why you need Steve back there going, yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I need it. There's a reason why I talk to him. It's not just to say hi and... And, you know, and what can I say? I mean, I have that gift that the Lord's given me. Why not use it?
Amen. Well, I had, you know, it always comes back to, um, putting off the tendencies of the natural man, the flesh, and saying no to it. And giving that lordship to Jesus. And determining to be pleased to offer your services to Him. To see it, to see your attitude change from "I got to do this thing" to "I get to do this thing." And to be really set free.
Can we not talk about that part?
Being joyful in all things.
Well, sometimes the fruit of your labor is a long coming. But
yeah, I know you had to deal with me for so many years.
when it gets there, it's a blessing.
And
you hang on for that. You hang on for that blessing, because it's always better than you think it's going to be.
It is. Amen.
It pleases me a great deal to see people start getting it and start actually really receiving the word. It shows. It changes their countenance. It changes what they talk about. It changes what they want to talk about. And I want to talk about how good the Lord is. And my attempts at humor aside, it's a pleasure and an honor to be able to minister the word, and it's a joy to see it received. So to be able to be a partaker in that in any way is better than I could ever imagine.
Amen. That is very true.
You know, I'm trying to resist the temptation to retract the stuff we went over in the service. But the stuff we went over in the service is important stuff. It's important stuff.
No, I mean, as you share with that, you look at, looking, I'm thinking of people that have received good things from the Lord. And that is a great joy to see. And really, really no greater joy than to see that. You know what I mean? It really, really is a good thing.
It's, I find it humbling, but, because you get, in my case, you spent a lot of time and you didn't see anything. You didn't see the Lord move. You didn't see anything happen. And it's all about, still all about me. It's no wonder that's going to happen that way. I mean, just the if-then thing. I never got the if thing settled.
You always stuck on the then. The then and afterward. It's like, that's that presumption that we have talked about before, you know. You want to go to the then. The first part is, if you're not doing the first part, you're just looking on the then part, then you got.
Can we just skip to the then? And
yeah. There's the presumption part that kicks in. It doesn't work out very well.
I wanted to talk a little bit, and I fortunately didn't drag it out through the service, but you know, we talked about God's not a respecter of persons. And that means that it's a lot easier for a dirtbag, lion's murderer, drug abuser, or, you know, a mother who's spent way too much time worrying about her and her appearance and not enough time worrying about the kids. It's easier for them to receive the word of the Lord and the truth of the gospel and become partakers in heavenly things than it is for the religious looking upright, doing everything the right way with the right letters, who are walking around in pride and assurity that they know that their end is good because they've earned it. And the Lord partnered with some really less than perfect people. You know, he partnered with Abraham, and, you know, he'd given Abraham land, and he got reports that Sodom and Gomorrah was some nasty stuff going on there, and he had to come down and see for himself. And he said, and I'm not going to engage in the quoting in error, I'm going to go back to it.
To Genesis?
Yes. And Genesis 19:17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. But he said, let's go talk to Abraham. And this passage is right after Sarah laughs. I mean, this is the very next thing. And, you know, God's testimony with Abraham is, I know him. I know him. And I can't hide this thing that I'm doing. I'm going to have to go tell him. You know, how neat is that? I mean, the only thing he did was he believed God. And from that point on, he was covered. He was covered with his righteousness and not his own. And that was all it's ever really been about, is trusting the Lord for his righteousness. And, you know, this is before the law. It's just an example of how good the Lord and his commitment to those who believe him is. And let's see. You see, he partnered up with who else? Samson? A murderer, an idolater, a womanizer.
Samson loved his woman.
But he was the Lord's man. David, a murderer, an adulterer, a man after God's own heart. was his testimony of David. I was going to look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Let's see if I can find it. David numbered the people, and God didn't want him to. So David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. But when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose the one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hands of man. David was his understanding of the Lord was of his great mercy. And he would rather be in the hands of the Lord than the hands of his enemies. His enemies would kill him. No pestilence might kill him. But the Lord's merciful. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough. Stay thine hand. Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arana, the Jebusite. David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, Lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. David understood accountability. He wasn't afraid of being plain spoken. Said, "Look, this was my deal. Don't hurt these people." They didn't do it. He's a stand-up guy. And you know, the story goes on. Arana offers. Arana payment for his sheep and the use of his threshing floor so he can make an offering to the Lord. And, you know, Arana says, I give it to you. You know, he didn't want to take anything. A gift. You know, it's like the Lord providing the sacrifice for Isaac. The Lord providing the sacrifice for all of us. The Lord is good. And even in the administration of His judgment, He's merciful and gracious. And you know, this is the God that we're seeking to know. Because the only confidence, the only eternal security is that we spend our lives seeking to know Him. And when we're not doing that, then we don't have any security. But in trusting Him and seeking to know Him and to know Him better and to know more, I want it to be able to be let in on what He's doing when He's doing a thing. I want to be His friend. I can't stay where I'm at. I need to know Him better. The song they did, I want to know You more.
And that could be a scary thing, too.
It terrifies me.
And what I mean by scary is to know what He would, you know, like in...
I don't know. I don't know if I could handle the knowledge.
That's what I'm talking about. Because I remember, what goes through my mind, Paul, because you were saying, well, I'm not going to hide this thing from Abraham. And he goes and he talks with Abraham, and then, you know, Abraham sitting there interceding with Jesus there about Sodom. But I remember having these managers meetings, and they would only, you know, there was this one instance they selected a hand few of these of the managers at Gerald's Tires and Brakes to let them know about, you know, some changes, what they want, what they're going to, you know, change and how to change it and how we're going to operate in these certain things. And I remember going to this thing, and I'm going, when I'm leaving that thing, I'm sitting there going, oh, like, I could have gone without knowing any of that.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was like, I don't need to know that. And then also some of the numbers and how they deal with these things and what's going on. I mean, the behind the scenes things that they let me in on. And I'm going, this is just too much for me.
I didn't really need to know what all you're putting into my food.
You know, I mean, I use that just as an example.
Yeah.
You know, that needs, and once again, that goes to changing my perspective on that. Because that needs to be, that, you know, one, that's a praise the Lord, that they're putting me in a place to have, to put me in a place where I can operate, they've given me the opportunity to operate in what they have going on. And so I can go and seek to do that, what they have planned to do. They're counting me as faithful by doing that. You know, that's what the Lord, I mean, we all have that opportunity to become, you know, moving from that servant to His friend. And, you know, at that time, you know, he goes, the servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but the friend does. You know, that's what the Lord was doing with Abraham. And Abraham interceded, in the sense of sitting there negotiating with God. I mean, he's his friend about Sodom. You know, Lord, if you bring it down to 50, Lord, you bring it down to 40. Lord, bring it down. And he got him down to what, 10? I think it was. And he tried 5, but that, I mean, he stopped at 10. But, you know, that's, that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Where Abraham was. And it's opportunity for anybody. I think, was it Davey that was talking last service about, well, how do you move from this part to, you know, his friend? And that was, it says simple.
Do what he says.
Do what I say. Yeah.
That's what we were in John looking at.
And it goes back there. And then you know him at that point. You know, I mean, in the sense of becoming his friend, you know what his... You're getting to know him better. Let me put it that way. Getting to know him better. You know, I look at Davey, I would be confident to say that Davey is Jesus' friend.
Yeah. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Isn't that not what Jesus did?
Amen.
Ye are my friends, if you do whatever, whatsoever I command you. Not a long list. Not all that complicated. And, you know, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not. And we're in John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. It's the second time he said that, just in this passage. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were out of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecute me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. But all things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. So the contrast here between the love of a friend and the hatred of the world is obvious. And the only way you can stand against that hatred is by being a friend of the Lord's. And if you're getting flack, then you must be doing some good. If you're drawing flack, drawing fire, you must be hitting something right. Hitting the target right.
Either that or...
Or you're just a dirt
the bag. Yeah.
Well, you are a dirt
bag. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, what comes to mind in that is, I mean, now if you suffer for righteousness' sakes, happy are ye. You know? But I go back to that easily deceived ourselves. If we're catching flack just because we're jerks, there's no profit there. But if we're actually catching flack because we're a servant of the Lord and bringing His truth, there's profit there. That's profitable. There is a difference between the two.
Talk to me some, James.
It's easy to tell if we were about His business and caught flack. Then it's profitable. If we were going about our own business and were rejected, well, they just didn't like what we said, you know, but it's when we're doing the work of the Father that and we catch the flack.
Really, it's catching flack for bringing His word.
Right.
Not our own or anything about us. I mean, it's His word. And we're catching flack for doing His thing and doing, bringing His word. I mean, then happy are you. But if you're catching flack because you're just a jerk, well, then, look, turn and repent.
That's why it's not the cure-all.
Right. I mean, what you got is theirs. I mean, you got... Even then, the Lord is a redeemer. I mean, you can repent of those things, and the Lord still can use those. The Lord's that good. I mean, when I go there, and the Lord is that good. I mean, how many of... What is our testimony, guys? I mean, even the Lord can use those things. I mean, what's David's testimony? You know what I'm saying?
David.
It was Samson, David, you know? So, it's a win-win when you turn to the Lord. I mean, don't get me, continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, that's not what I'm saying.
Go to Hebrews 11 and read the list of the enumerated men of faith and women.
Yeah. So
some of these, if they had, they're not, most of them are not going to make, you know, the top 10 list of... most of them are redeemed dirt bags.
So, but our testimony to others was, I am a sinner.
Yeah.
I am a sinner, but God's grace is bigger than that and covered me. And He redeemed the time. That's our testimony. That's our testimony to those out there, isn't it not? So, I mean, it's a win-win. I mean, that's the gospel. I mean, what I'm saying is it's just a win-win with the Lord. By turning to the Lord, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
And it's a testimony when we do those things out of our own pride, and yet the Lord can redeem it, that His gospel is true, that He is true, that Him dying on the cross was sufficient.
Amen.
For a scumbag like me.
Yeah.
True.
Paul's agreeing. Yeah, he's agreeing with you. Hey, he was nodding his head and everything. I wanted you to get the clear picture, James.
I can agree with that. Oh, man. We're awful. But, the character of our God. And the character of our God is amazingly better than we deserve. And his whole purpose, his whole is that we may know Him. His purpose in providing this and His word is that you can't see me holding it, but I'm holding it. this is not television, and thank God it's not television. Some of us would scare people with the way we look. But He is every way better than we deserve. And I'm about the business of, let's see if I can do something different. I'm gonna discipline my cohort here for that nastiness that he has put upon me. Let's see.
Shedding mine. We pray. trying to please you, instead I tried to please myself. In the end, when your heart is broken, I see the folly of trying to please myself. Didn't I go to such great lengths to try to please you, instead I tried to please myself. In the end, when your heart is broken, I see the folly of trying to please myself.
Right. We have, we're about the business of learning how to please the Lord. And for that to be our sole preoccupation, it's about learning how to please Him and do His thing. Because nothing else matters. Nothing else matters.
Amen.
I just thought I'd stick that song in there, and I thought it was appropriate. I think, unless y'all have anything more to say, I'm ready to wrap it up.
Me too.
Not here, Paul.
All right. Well, I thank y'all for joining me this week on the Hour of Truth. We will say, may the Lord bless you and keep you this week.